Please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship. O give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works.
Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered. Praise the Lord. This is the story of the time Jesus walked on the waters of the Galilee. Listen now for God's word. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God," the word of God for the people of God.
Oh, not a perfect hymn for today, for we are talking about oceans and waters and, yes, sailing. And Matthew knew the joy of sailing. I think he also knew the fear of sailing. Then again, perhaps like most sailors, Frank, I'm including you in this one, he probably knew both joy and fear. When I lived on the East Coast, I had the joy and the fear of sailing on the Chesapeake with friends. Catching a good autumn breeze was always a thrill. And on the other hand, getting caught in a summer storm could shake you to the bottoms of your topsiders. There were times when we would lazily watch, sitting out there on an all but becalmed body of water, as clouds built up on a steaming summer afternoon. It was always good, though, to keep an eye out for changes in those clouds. You never knew when a puffy, white, cumulus lamb in the sky would suddenly change into a fear-inducing cumulonimbus anvil. That word, cumulonimbus. Say it. Cumulonimbus. Cumulonimbus. Come on, try it. It's a fun word to say, cumulonimbus. Yeah. Whew, but boy, can they be scary. And earlier in his gospel, Matthew told about a Galilee crossing when a wild storm came up. Everyone on board was afraid they would drown. Well, everybody except Jesus. He slept through the worst of it. And then he suggested that the 12 had feared for their lives because they had so little faith. Ouch. If I'd been any one of them, I certainly wouldn't have gotten back into a boat anytime soon after that. But here they are, once again crossing to the other side of the lake. And a giant wind stirs up as if out of nowhere. Yeah, that can definitely happen. Stormy weather is not required for a big blow to sweep across the body of water. In fact, Lake Erie is somewhat famous for them. And when one comes out across the lake, you better watch out. The chop that stirs up out there can be ferocious. The lake goes from flat sea glass green to white-capped murky brown in nothing flat. And that's because Erie is fairly long, 242 miles, I think. But at an average depth of just 62 feet, it's quite shallow. Plus, as I said, it runs east to west, and most of the winds are coming from the west-northwest or the east-northeast straight across it. It doesn't take much to turn a pleasant day on the water into something to be feared. The Galilee may be called a sea, but actually it's just 13 feet in circumference and all of 141 feet deep. Nowhere near as deep as Long Lake Michigan's 287 feet. So the proportions of the Galilee make it easy for significant turbulence to develop quickly. And that means that this little craft the 12 had climbed into, it was just a little fishing boat, well, it was being tossed around pretty darn good. Have any of you been on a boat in choppy waters? I know Frank probably has. Anybody else? Oh, there's a few hands. Yay! Well, you know that things can come into view and then out quite quickly. Sometimes you think you see something out there across the water, yet being certain of what it is quite challenging. Now, maybe that is what confused the men into thinking the figure that was walking around out there was a ghost. Then, too, maybe the sun was glinting just right off the waves. Whatever. The vision, on top of the hours-long, continuous battering of the little boat by the wave, spooked them to no end. But after hearing what they thought was Jesus' voice, Peter pulls himself together and asks the apparition to prove he is really whom he seems to be. You probably remember that other people in Matthew's testament pose similar challenges. There was the adversary, some call him Satan, right after the baptism, out there in the wilderness. That vision offered Jesus the world if he'd just honor Satan instead of God. And later, there's going to be a high priest who questions him, and yes, even later still, onlookers will mock him from the foot of the cross. You know, if you're really him, then take yourself off that darn thing. Now, because we can look backward through history, we know that Jesus doesn't meet this kind of challenge with a positive response. But this time, Jesus agrees to Peter's question. He invites this rock to walk out to him on the water, which was still pretty choppy. We need to stop, though. We actually need to stop and talk about this. Since last August, Chris Beebe, who is floating around here somewhere, and Jen Ardrey and me have been talking a lot with the high schoolers of this congregation. We've tried to unpack the biggest questions people consider when they think about God and Jesus and the Bible and faith. You know, easy stuff. And after many questions and debates, oh yeah, debates and prayers, several of these young people have decided to reconfirm the vows that their families made on their behalf when they were baptized as little babies. You know, I don't know about the Allisons, but I think the other three were all baptized here, right? Yeah? Were the Allisons baptized? They were all baptized in that font. Their family stood around them and said, yes, we believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And now, as a way of making sense of sort of repacking up all the stuff that we had unpacked together, these students have written papers detailing some of what they believe about these faith topics. In his paper, one of them said these three things. A, I believe God will guide me throughout my life. B, I believe sin is the devil working through us. C, I believe God gives us gifts and talents that help us find his calling for us. Those are great beliefs. So what is up with Peter in this story? Does he believe that God is guiding him? Is the adversary, the devil, trying to work through him to discredit Jesus? I'm not convinced he was acting on Satan's behalf. Feels like he's asking Jesus to give him the capacity to come to Jesus' side as a disciple, a student. Not so he can take power from his Lord. He seems to be asking Jesus to guide him through his life. Just as our student said, I believe God will guide me through my life. At first, Peter believes he can walk on the water. He does. And he looks out to his leader, and he starts out across the water. And then, yeah, he looks around and realizes what's actually happening. Fear overtakes him. And the next thing he knew, he was sinking down into the murky chop. And he cries out, "Lord, save me!" Now that is a prayer if I ever heard one. And Jesus, God, heard that prayer. He reached out for his friend and guided him back into the boat. Yeah, Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" He recognized Peter as the far less than perfect man that he was. But Jesus still answered Peter's prayer. Which reminds me of things two of our students wrote in their faith statements. One, our prayers are always answered, even if we don't see or understand it. And two, prayer makes a difference because it can change people's lives. I believe, like, it makes God happy that everyone is doing what he and his son taught us to do. Well, Peter's failure didn't exactly make Jesus happy. Yet, Jesus understood that he was still trying to develop complete trust in the man as his savior. And Jesus knew that Peter's faith was still growing, that Peter was still working to be a faithful follower, that he wasn't giving up because his journey wasn't over yet. Most important, Peter's gaze had returned to his master. He had learned that in the sea of life, he could not save himself. Only Jesus could save this man from his faults. And you know, like Peter, we are all connected to God, even though we are not perfect. One of our students said, "Humanity is connected by our faults, thus making it even more important to our lives with kindness and compassion." I think I wrote that quote down right. Bottom line, we're supposed to be kind and compassionate. Because of our faith, we are connected to others. And Jesus showed kindness and compassion to Peter in the ultimate way. He saved his disciple's life. He saved him from the choppy Galilee waters. And he saved Peter and all of those who believe in him from eternal separation from God. It feels like Peter learned a great deal about how faith in Jesus can be a very powerful force in life. I believe that the youth who are reaffirming their faith in Christ today and becoming full adult members of Christ's body in this congregation have learned a great deal about him over the last year, too. Importantly, they've learned, in the words of another of these people, that like Peter, every one of us is God's child. This young man also said that, and I quote, "It is important for us to spread Jesus' word to everyone because his word is for everyone." And that brings me to a very important point. Matthew says, "And those in the boat worshiped him." Now, this is right after Peter had clambered back into the vessel. He had rejoined Jesus' disciples, and he too worshiped Jesus. which suggests that perhaps we are all supposed to be in the boat with the 12, worshiping our Savior, not trying to walk around on water. Those in the boat were the church, the only church there was at that time. Jesus had sent them ahead to the other side of the lake while he prayed. Then the 13 of them would share his word with anyone who would listen. They were on a faith journey together, just like our youth are, just like we all are. We have been sent to be together in this boat named Trinity. We're here to learn about God and ask questions, to debate, to consider and discern what God is asking of us. And together we are to grow in faith, even if we don't always agree with one another. We're here also to offer kindness and compassion to people everywhere, to be Jesus's body in this time and this place especially. And especially to bring Jesus' word to all we meet. Oh, my friends, Matthew must have loved sailing. He was sharing Jesus' sailing story, his word, with a new group of Christians there, surrounded in the greater environs of Palestine, these folks who were just beginning their faith journey on the seas of their lives. And the story he shared 2,000 years ago is still being told across the seven seas today. And no matter where they are in their faith journeys, people are learning from this tale of 12 men on a voyage through a great wind across a very choppy sea. And I pray that each of you, and especially Catherine and Aaron and Jonathan and Mark, and yes, you too, Connor, I pray that each of you will always find joy in sailing your ships of faith wherever God leads you. Just keep your eyes on Jesus, on his teachings, on his life. For indeed, like a brother, he loves you, and he will always answer your prayers, whether you understand it or not. Vaya con Dios, my brothers and sisters. Sail on. Amen. It is with joy that I invite Lou LeMaster from the session, Lou, and Chris Beebe from Christian Ed, as well as Catherine Allison, Aaron Johnson, Jonathan Patterson, and Mark Patterson to come forward. In these moments, we will remember the importance of our relationship to God as well as our baptisms into the faith by reaffirming our faith with these young people. Chris, I know that as their teacher, you have some words to share with the congregation.
Thank you. I do have a few words. This confirmation class began 1 year ago with the goal of finishing the curriculum by December. And TUP, the church, provided each of them with an outstanding study Bible with wonderful sidebars that talk and explain scripture and relate it to real life. If you don't have a study Bible, it might be something that you might want to consider having. Continuing with the saga of the confirmation class, enter life events that created havoc with class attendance on the part of the teachers and the students. Enter ERs, unexpected surgeries, sports schedules, homecomings, family events, and it was quickly apparent that we would not meet the goal of December. So we set another goal of prior to Lent. Well, the saga continued, and then we thought Easter Sunday. Student questions and deep discussions were the norm as we continued to use that wonderful Presbyterian curriculum. I learned, Jen learned, Reverend Deb did also, as we experienced class with these inquisitive young people. We regret that Jen had to work today because she was an integral part of our class. And then in March, something totally unexpected happened, COVID-19. No one could have predicted the impact then and continuing today. We regrouped and had class via Zoom. What an experience. I still have not set one up, but I know how to participate in one. We finished our lessons, put together a major service project, and they wrote outstanding faith statements. We will finish up our service project after church today. We have 192 that are done except for towels, which are downstairs in Fellowship Hall waiting to be put together.
Yes. Tell them what they are.
Yeah. Okay, these are kits for the homeless shelter in Putnam. They have toothpaste, toothbrush, comb, nail clippers, soap, washcloth, and soon to be a towel.
And Band-Aids.
Oh, and Band-Aids. Can't forget the Band-Aids. And we had to recount those three times, I think. So we're going to finish that up right after church. We don't have much left to do on those. And this was their idea. And we were able to put those together one afternoon in quick time. These are awesome young people with great futures ahead. And I, as well as Jen and Reverend Deb, have been privileged to work with them. And one more thing, we have grab-and-go treats in the back. These are provided by Catherine and her family for today. And she just told us she was doing it. And Reverend Deb and I had really hesitated asking her because we didn't want her to have to provide her own treat. But she offered. So please
take one.
Take one on the way out and enjoy. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. You see before you four young people. The class was actually five. One of our group has discerned much thought and meditation have gone into this, that he is not quite ready to make such a major life decision. We honor that decision. We know that God speaks to you as God will and when God will, Connor. And you are always welcome as part of this congregation. You are a part of our family, and I hope that you will continue to actively participate in the life of this church. With that, I would like to invite Lou LeMaster on behalf of the session. You can use the pulpit, thank you, to begin our official welcoming of these students.
These young folks asked wonderful, wonderful questions, and they were just super. On behalf of the session, I present Catherine Allison, Aaron Johnson, Jonathan Patterson, and Mark Patterson. They have reaffirmed their baptismal covenant into which they were baptized. They now desire to publicly profess their faith and to assume greater responsibility in the life of the church and God's mission in the world, who have been received into the membership of this congregation by profession of faith.
So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And for everyone to hear these professions and renunciations. As you are publicly declaring your faith, I'm going to invite you to reject of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The congregation may be seated. The youth will remain.
You have publicly professed your faith. This is a question.
Will you be a faithful member of this congregation? Share calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us into God's holy body. joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Everlasting God, guard these, your servants, with your protective hand, and let your Holy Spirit be with them forever. Lead them to know and obey your word, that they may serve you in this life and dwell with you forever in the life to come. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes. We had an activity where they wrote positive comments about each other, and those are private for them. But in reading my daily guideposts in my upper room, I came across two things. One was from author Debbie McComber. One day she muttered to God, "I wish you had given me a GPS when it came to answering some tricky life questions." And he, meaning God, reminded me that he has given us what we all need for guidance. The Bible is our GPS, and the more time we spend with him reading and studying his word, the more direction we receive. And that was from July 25th of this year. Upper Room, July 31st of this year, and there are still copies on the in the Narthex. Pam Hickerson from the United States wrote that she had a Sunday school teacher who explained the passage 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7, which is often called the love chapter, by suggesting that in place of the words love and it, we substitute the word Jesus and read it again, and then replace it with your own name and read it a third time. We are then reminded of the type of love that God shows us and the type of love that God wants us to share with everyone each day. And that passage is 4 to 7. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I have cards for each of the students.
Jonathan have expressed their intention to continue in the covenant God made with them in their baptisms. Let us welcome them as they join with us in the worship and mission of the church, and all the people respond by saying, with joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you to share in the ministry of Christ, for we are all
She said, let them sit down. Let them sit down.
Go in peace, beloved, so you may be seated with your family.
I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Who shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Children, especially those with no homes to return to at the end of long.
Jesus, remember me.
remember your promise. Rely on your power so we may receive your peace through every storm. But we pray not just for our own sake, but for the needs of the world. We lift up to you the peoples of this earth and especially their leaders. Help these men and women to act not from anger or ego, but with the better interests of their people in heart and mind. We pray for the church that as your body on earth, we may be obedient to you and stay in the boats you have sent us to and on the seas you have ordained. Help us to trust in you and your gracious compassion for us. We pray for people who have been betrayed, beaten, thrown aside, or abandoned, be they here in Muskingum County or around the globe. We especially pray for the people of the beach, their boats, capsized in such a horrendous blast we cannot even imagine. Its power, shattered glass, concrete and bone. So many lives have been changed in ways we cannot imagine. Help your leaders to find ways to bring them into safe harbor. Help them find ways to provide water and food and shelter for these masses. Help them to show your love. Now, O Lord, we pray for the special needs of those who mourn their boats. Be with these folks and make their life journey less fearful.
O Lord, we beseech you to hold us up when we falter in the storm. Bring us safely to the promised land of rest and release.
We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who taught his disciples to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Brothers and sisters, go out into the world in peace. For courage, hold on to what is good. Support the weak, help the faint-hearted, heal the sick. Go about to proclaim the word of Jesus in peace as well as evil deeds. Let them know that no matter what the seas of life toss up or down, the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community
of the Holy Spirit that draws us together as family with new adult members goes with all of us now and always. Amen.
I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts satisfied. I will give my life to them. Who shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it